Steve Dion here with the FinalScore.tv, checking in with weekly Varsity Football Live reporter Steve Willits from SoundLiveSportsNetwork.com, where today he's going to break down the Wesco playoff pictures. We enter the final week of the regular season. How's it going today, Steve?
Doing great, Steve. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. So, you know, here we are, the final week of the regular season. You know, you've had quite an exciting run of games up there in Wesco country. So why don't you kind of break it down? What is the postseason scenario looking like up there?
Yeah, we can start it off with the 4A for Wesco, and really it's the championship is, it's all or nothing on Friday night. It's Monroe at Lake Stevens, two teams undefeated in league play, two teams that have pretty much distanced themselves from the entire conference otherwise, and they're going to decide it in a one-gamer. Team that wins it gets the number one seed, team that loses takes the number two. Both teams will have a home game for the first round of the playoffs. If you are lucky enough to get to the second round, the team that gets the number one seed will also have a home game for that round. So really there's a lot on the line to play for, and it should be a fun game to watch. Two high-powered teams, neither of which gives up very many points, and both are capable of scoring plenty. Then it gets a little interesting when you go further down into the conference. Mariner has a one-game lead over Jackson and Glacier Peak. And here's an interesting scenario here, and quite frankly, it might be the favorite scenario, depending on who you ask, but Mariner plays at Jackson on Friday night. Glacier Peak plays at Mount Vernon, a Mount Vernon team that hasn't won a game in 2 years. So if we go under the assumption that Glacier Peak probably wins that game, mm-hmm. if Jackson defeats Mariner, we're going to have a three-way tie for third place, and all three of those teams will, at that point, be 1-1 in head-to-head play. Therefore, they would get together on Monday night at 6 p.m. at Goddard Stadium and play a Kansas City tiebreaker for the third, fourth, and fifth places.
Wow. That would be something to see.
Yeah, it would. And not only that, it's you talk about having a little bit on the line. If you finish in fifth place, you don't make the playoffs at all. If you finish in fourth place, you get the number one team in the SPSL, which is right now it's Sumner. Maybe the best team in the state. So you really don't want to end up in that fourth or fifth position. So it would definitely be a must-see for any of the folks who are Wesco 4A fans.
And briefly, what is kind of the scenario? Like, how do they play out that Kansas City tiebreaker?
There's usually a drawing that takes place. So it's essentially the same rules that you see in college and high school overtimes. Two teams playing against one another, both starting with a possession at the 25-yard line. And then they play it out just like they would a normal overtime. I don't have all the specifics in front of me, but I think they generally, just off of a draw, take two of the teams. Those two teams play. I think the team that loses has to play immediately afterwards.
Right.
If they lose that second game also, they're automatically out, and then the other two teams play for third and fourth.
Wow, that would be something. You know, you get totally set up for a full 60-minute game, or 48 that would be, and then, you know, it's actually just really one drive, so you got to get into game mode right off the bat.
You could literally tape yourself up, get ready to play. Like you said, you go through the walkthroughs, the practices, and everything else, and it could essentially be a two-play game. I mean, you could turn it over on the first play, other teams could score on the second, and you're done. So, it's interesting, but at the same time, with so much to play for, it's definitely something that I think a lot of folks will turn out for. It's also Halloween night, so it's probably not ideal for a lot of people, but certainly a heck of a way to end a season.
Definitely. Talk about bang for the buck there. So how are we looking at for the 3A?
3A, we'll look at the South Division first, and that's a little more clear-cut. Meadowdale, by virtue of their win over Edmonds Woodway last week, clinched the number one spot not only in the South Division, but overall in Wesco, as the two conferences are rotating right now every other year for that number one and two spot. So Meadowdale is the number one seed going into the playoffs. Edmonds Woodway is going to finish second in that division, so they're going to get the number three as the South Division gets all the odd spots. Linwood and Snohomish, they are your two teams that are going to get the three and four spots. Linwood controlling their own destiny. If they win on Friday night, they will take the three. Snohomish hoping they lose, and if Snohomish were to defeat Meadowdale and then get a Shorecrest victory over Linwood, Snohomish could leapfrog them into the number three spot. That's important because the top three make the playoffs automatically. The fourth place team has to play a crossover game on next Tuesday against the Wesco 3A North squad. So we're going to keep an eye on that. Things are a little more interesting over in the North, specifically kind of in the middle of the pack. On top, it's already clear cut. It's Squalicum, gets the number one spot from the North Division after their 47-42 victory over Ferndale last week. So again, if you're keeping track at home there, Squalicum, the number one team in the North, but the number two team overall in Wesco for the seedings. Ferndale has wrapped up that second place spot in the North, so they're going to be the number four seed for Wesco. And then we could potentially have another Kansas City tiebreaker. Oak Harbor has a slight edge right now over the other teams up below them. They play at Marysville Pilchuck on Friday. We kind of think Oak Harbor wins that game, and so they probably take the number three. But then we have another scenario that plays out to where, if that were in fact the case, and if Squalicum, who's one of the top three or four teams in the state, if they defeat Arlington, we're going to have a scenario where Arlington, Marysville Pilchuck, and Stanwood could end up in a three-way tie for fourth place. So they're going to all have to get together if that happens on, I guess it would be Saturday at noon, and they're playing for one spot and one spot only, and that's to get to the crossover game, which would take place on Tuesday. So one of
playoff for a playoff.
Yeah, one of those two teams could end up playing Friday, Saturday, and Tuesday. And if you're fortunate enough to win that game, your first round game is probably going to be against O'Day. It's the Metro number one team.
Yeah, that's a tough one to go off right off the bat, but you definitely want to get there. It sounds like there's a lot of moving parts, but glad to have experts like you here to kind of give us the rundown. And you got a nice slate ahead of you, and enjoy the next couple weeks.
Will do. Thanks, Steve.
There he is, Steve Willits from SoundLiveSportsNetwork.com. Make sure you catch his podcast, Prep Chatter, at thehawkeye.org, too. He's got a lot of great stuff up there. And we're going to have you covered all the way through the state championships on thefinalscore.tv, your first stop every day for the best in high school football coverage.